Chuck Chat Technorama for Monday, October 3rd, 2005.
Any similarities between this podcast and actual events and or persons living or dead are purely coincidental. Names have been changed to protect the innocent, and no animals were harmed in making of this podcast.
This show is a proud member of
the TechPodcast.com network.
Find out more about this and other shows at
www.techpodcast.com.
TechPodcast.com.
If it's tech, it's here.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Unilateral phase detractors, cardinal gram meters, six hydrotopic Marvel vanes, conductors and fluxes, prefamulated amulite, malleable logarithmic casing, swerving bearings, panometric fan, Milford trunnions, ambifacient lunar wane shaft, Lotus O-deltoid type, semi-boloid slots of the stator, drawn reciprocation dingle arm, sinusoidal deplaneration, retroencabulator.
Welcome to Technorama. I'm your host, Chuck Tomasi, and with me, as always, blowing the doors off all the other podcasts, with me is Craig Stapp. How are you,
Hello,
Craig?
Hello, everybody.
And we have a return special guest. We've got Summer Brooks from the Dragon Page. Summer is back with us. Hi, Summer.
Hi, guys.
Welcome back. She's here for one reason and one reason and only, and it isn't to keep us on in line. We are going to ruin Serenity. So, if you haven't heard... This is a spoiler alert. Spoiler alert, we will be talking about the movie Serenity. So, if you haven't gone to see the movie, stop now, or we will ruin it for you. We were waiting till the movie came out. Well, actually, I had to wait till the movie came out. Summer saw it already more than once.
Yeah.
She could have made spoilers last time, but did not, thank goodness. So Summer's back in the house, and we've got a few other odds and ends sprinkled here and there and throughout the show, like users put documents and files in odd random places on our file servers. That's what this show is all about. But before we go on, we need to cover the bandwidth bill and listen to our sponsors.
If you organize conference calls or hold business meetings with remote clients, you can use GoToMeeting to keep everyone on the same page and make your meetings more effective. It's helped our members at TechPodcast.com stay organized, made planning much easier, and saved us time. Best of all, it's affordable for both small and large businesses. GoToMeeting has agreed to let TechPodcast.com listeners try their web conferencing tool free for 30 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/TechPodcast for your free trial now. Discover how GoToMeeting can revolutionize the way you hold business meetings.
On this day in tech history for October 3rd. It's October 3rd, the 276th day of the year. There are 89 days remaining in the year. There are 67 days until the Chronicles of Narnia open. I'll bet you were wondering what I was going to count down to once Serenity opened up. It was on this day in 1942, the first successful launch of the A4 rocket from the Test Stand 7 at Peenemünde, Germany. This was the first man-made object to reach space. In 1952, the United Kingdom successfully tests a nuclear weapon. And it was on this date in 1962, at Cape Canaveral, the Mercury 8 blasts off with astronaut Wally Schirra aboard for a 9-hour flight. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for October 3rd.
Allow myself to introduce myself.
This is Victor Cahill from the Typical PC User Podcast at www.typicalpcuser.com. And you're listening to Technorama with Chuck Tomasi and Craig Stepp.
Nerd alert!
And Summer Brooks.
Yes.
We've got all the nerds on board tonight.
Nerd alert!
Triple nerd alert tonight. Hey, I want to give a shout out before we go any further to Cornelius Fletcher. He's from the Project Management podcast that I discovered this week. As many of you know, my job has changed a little bit in the last couple of months. I'm now officially, well, actually unofficially, a project manager. What did you say?
A janitor.
Yeah, so I'm trying to improve myself by listening to more productive podcasts.
But that's my broom. I'm sorry, my mop.
My mop. That's from UHF for anyone who didn't get it.
You gave me that mop.
My father gave me that mop. So special shout out to Cornelius. He's doing an awesome job. We've been going back and forth with some emails, and I'm sure I'm going to feature prominently in his podcast as what not to do or things a junior PM should know. We've got a couple of follow-up things, do we not, Craig?
Oh, yeah, and the first one, send in the clones.
Don't sing that. No singing.
We got an article talking about Skype clones, which we've been talking about SIP phones and Gizmo and all that good stuff. And we just thought we'd throw this other link out to you talking about somebody's running down some other clients that are trying to go up hand or toe-to-toe to Skype. So we'll throw that in the show notes. And I was also talking about hacking the Atari Flashback, you know, putting a cartridge slot on there.
Yes.
So you could go down to the pawn shop and spend 50 cents and get a box of cartridges to play on there. And I'm going to put in the show notes a link that gives you step-by-step on doing that, which is real easy. And, you know, and also a common theme throughout our show is we keep bringing up Wikipedia and how awesome it is. Well, I read an article the other day about Esquire magazine. Actually, one of the writers took a factually incorrect and grammatically screwed up article. He put it in there just as a test.
He did this on purpose. He purposely put in spelling mistakes and grammatical things and incorrect facts.
And what he said within 24 hours, all that was fixed.
Isn't that amazing? It really makes me wonder what else we could put out there. I wonder if I could do college term papers or maybe my project proposal at work.
Well, I think his project, when he was doing this article, they were going to print like the original and then print the finished version out of Wikipedia, you know, in the magazine as a comparison. And he was saying that this would be great for magazines, but the problem is that Wikipedia has a nice user base built up to do just this kind of thing. And, you know, if Time Magazine was to just throw a wiki up there and, you know, people just come in and screw around with it. So he thought that it's because the Wikipedia has such a good community around it, and it does. I subscribed to the RSS feed from Wikipedia to see all the changes.
Mm-hmm.
There's like every time my reader goes out and gets a update, it's like 30 or plus items on there that has been updated.
Are you monitoring just specific entries, or saying show me all the changes to anything?
No, like in MediaWiki, if you go into the special pages
and go to the updated,
there's an RSS feed for changes, and it's just general changes.
And Wikipedia's got that. Oh, man, that must just be obnoxious.
Well, I did it as an experiment because I was curious what gets updated, and boy, there's a lot. Anything from just a couple of words to they stuck George Bush sucks on there and somebody had to go back and remove it. But, you know, stuff like that they don't want, of course. But at any rate, so.
Now, Summer, do you use Digg? DIGG.com?
Nope.
All right.
Okay, that ended that. Moving right along.
Well, neither does a friend of mine at work, amazingly enough. And I'm trying to get the essence of what Digg is all about over to him. He said, well, why do I really need that? Craig, give me the 411 on Digg, just so...
On Digg?
I mean, it's sort of like Slashdot. You can go there and get your tech and science, and there's other categories. It's user-contributed, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So you can go there, but it's not... like an RSS feed that will come to you automatically as things are posted. However,
That will happen too. But the thing is, like me and you are both on there, and we both take articles that I find interesting. And I'll dig them, and you will too. And I can add you as a friend, and then I can see what you've been digging and stuff. But I'll be honest with you, I don't really pay attention to that as much as I use that sometimes, but just to keep bookmark, so to speak, some of my articles that I'm interested in, you know. So that's kind of what I use it for. But you know, people have friends on there, and you know, I can post an article. If it gets enough digs, it makes it their front page. So it's a, you know, it's a user based system, so you don't have editors per se sticking stuff up there, you know, deciding what's good and what's bad. Now on the flip side, you get a lot of signal to noise, you know, going on like on Slashdot.
Yeah.
You know, you get less articles, but you get better conversation, if you want to say that. You know?
Yes and no. I mean, Slashdot, you put the limit on there as to what kind of rating you want to see, so that everything is moderated. And
I mean, there's some. I'm just saying that there. Sometimes there's a little better discussion. One, because the thread is threaded.
Okay.
On dig, it's just post, and right. You know, I may have replied to something some schmuck said. Three articles or three posts up, but you know, it's hard to keep track of that. But anyway, Dig is a good place if you want to just keep track of news in general, because everything comes through there pretty much.
I guess I'm trying to get back to the root thing of why would I care? Why should I use it? I suppose there's a couple different answers to that, isn't there?
Well,
you use it for bookmarking. I use it to see what. Give a quick scan of the articles and also see what you're interested, because it's a lot like music. If you say, hey, Chuck, if you like this band and this band and this band, you might also like, you know, boom, 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 and I can use it that way.
Well, I think later on they're going to add something on there that says articles that are similar to this one, which may add in what you're talking about. And I do like to see what articles – I mean, I can look as – you're in there as a friend, I can go in there and look at your profile, and I can see, which you can do this for anybody's, but it's easier to get to if you're at a friend level, but I can go see what stories you commented on, mm-hmm. You know, and go see what you, if you've commented to anybody, or see what articles you posted, you know, and you can get an RSS feed of just my friends' posts, or things they've been digging too, so, you know, there's a bunch of ways to aggregate some data out of there. I do it, like I said, to keep track of things I'm interested in, you know, and you can go back and see the things you've been digging forever, or you did dig, so.
I don't think we're making a real strong selling point for this.
No, there's a lot of different ways to look at it, so if you're wanting to keep track of, I mean, just.
Did I lose you?
I'm on a tech news
okay.
In general. I mean, you know, and the thing is, once I've been using dig and, huh?
I thought I lost you.
Yeah, between Dig and the other sites I watched.
Mm-hmm.
No, between Dig and the other sites that I look at, you know, I pretty much know what's going on. Period. And I got people say, "Hey, did you see that?" I'm thinking, "Yeah, I've already seen it." You know, so
yeah, you can really pick up a lot of the news fast. But Dig is only a small piece of the pie.
Yeah.
Am I missing something, or is Dig really just Google News that's user generated?
That's pretty much it.
Okay.
You know, all the stories that come to the main page, people have, you dig the story, you just click on the icon beside the story if you think it's interesting to you, and if enough people dig it, it makes it to the front page.
So it's a lot like Slashdot with Google News behind it. The, mm-hmm. the users drive what's on the front page, but the stories are rated, I think, similarly
right.
to what Google News does.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. You're right.
And people so comment.
Yeah. And it's a social bookmarking tool is kind of what they sell it as. You know, social bookmarking and technology news site. So.
Hmm.
Okay.
You have to go check it out.
All right, let's move on to our strange story category.
This was cool.
This was funny.
Yeah, did you see, Summer, did you see this, that Chewie threw a fastball out? Chewbacca. He threw the first pitch out at Fenway Park.
He was on the pitcher's mound. There's pictures of it and everything. It was clocked at 99 miles an hour.
Yeah.
What an arm on that guy.
No kidding. Hold on, let me see. I'm going to send you the link real quick.
The picture is just wrong. You look at it and go, Chewie should not be on the pitcher's mound. I'm sorry.
Let's see. Here you go. Yeah, go look at that. Yeah, that's pretty funny. He's digging into it, too. Yeah, I had to pull that one up.
All right, well,
she's I like that they've had, like, Darth Maul have thrown that.
Yeah, he doesn't have a good arm.
You know what? I had to say one thing. Whoever's in that suit, that's good, because you have to imagine that thing's got some weight to it.
It's got to be hotter than anything. All right, we've got to cover our other ad. We'll be back in just a second.
All right.
Time is running out. GoDaddy.com is offering $1.99 domain names, transfers, or renewals with each and every new non-domain product you buy, but only until October 10th. Each domain name includes complete email, a $9.95 value free. Plus, listeners to this show get an additional 10% off any order. But the $1.99 domain sale expires October 10th, so order now at GoDaddy.com. Just enter TECH3, that's TECH, and the number 3 as your source code.
Oh my God, they grow out of those pods.
This is Summer Brooks from the Dragon Page, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Chuck Chat Technorama. Can you figure out who's the one and who's the zero?
I couldn't resist. I love doing that when I have a co-host just on a sweeper.
That's one of my favorite sweepers we play.
That came out pretty good.
Yep.
All right.
Well, lead us in, Chuck.
Lead us in, Summer. Okay, last night, as everybody knows, the movie Serenity opened up in the U.S., and we've been counting down on Technorama to the movie, and everybody's been looking forward to it. And I have to admit, I did not watch Firefly. I didn't catch it when it was on. I am looking for the source of that information. Hey.
You know what? You're going to be saying the same thing when the Battlestar Galactica movie comes out.
No. Ease up. I've got the mixer here. You be careful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
And I, from my standpoint, walking into it cold, I thought it was an awesome movie. It's very good, although I have some issues with the movie.
Uh-oh.
Now, obviously, some of these are based on the fact that I did not watch Firefly, so I was not totally familiar with all the characters, and you know, they weren't old friends of mine, like what Craig said prior to the show. We said, well, I felt like I was home when I walked on board the ship again.
I didn't say that exactly. But yes, you were right. I was saying that I felt I had that feeling like I just saw Han and Chewie in the Millennium Falcon again when they went into the cockpit and saw Mal and Wash sitting there at the very beginning.
Yep.
I've had a nostalgic feeling. I thought it was kind of cool.
How much did watching Firefly help understand what was going on in the movie? Not everybody all at once. Okay, sir, Summer.
Go for it.
I would say that it would get you more familiar with the characters and how they usually interact. Mm-hmm. The one thing I didn't like about the movie, Jane seemed a bit more contentious, and then it went away really quick.
Was he the grenade dude?
Yeah, he's the grenade dude. That one little confrontation they had after he brought River back on board, I was a little tiny bit out of character, I thought.
Yeah.
But, hey, what do I know?
You mean when he said, tell a story about... Oh, no, he wasn't the one.
No, he was the one. He was, you know, there was the whole little thing going back and forth. You want to run this ship? Yeah. And he was, well, you can't.
Oh, yeah.
That whole little... I mean, he got too much in Mal's face, and I hadn't seen that before. So I don't know if he has some residual resentment from River, stabbing him.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding.
But it fell back into character when he was going, come here, little crazy girl, we're going to go on a shuttle ride. I'm like, okay, right. that's more like it.
Yeah, I had the same feeling, too, because I was like, you know, he seemed a little more edgy than he did in the movie. Just seemed, he had his moments, but he was like a grunt, you know, just a dumb grunt. Okay, fine, I'll go with it, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he was a little... like he's pissed off with a little bit too much.
Who is Inara?
Inara was the companion who was on the ship. Companion is a future euphemism for call girl.
Well trained, by the way.
Yeah, well, extremely. They actually have schools where they go to train companions. Companions are actually better treated than diplomats and politicians. They wield a lot of influence, registered companions. And she actually chose to travel on Serenity with the crew.
Okay.
And there was some obvious sexual tension between her and Mal, which I found out through some other reading she couldn't follow through on because of the rules of her status.
Oh, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Okay. I didn't know that either.
Okay, and I got another question about that tactic to get through the Reavers. They decorated their ship with dead bodies and red paint and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What was that all about? Was that just a decoy to make them think, oh, here comes another Reaver ship?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Okay. So why didn't it work on the way back? Or was it just too suspicious that,
No, it worked on the way back, but they opened fire to Cortis, kind of like hitting the hornet's nest with a stick.
But the Swiss Army ship was about to open them up.
No,
he was just looking at it. Because remember earlier they mentioned about, well, we got two armies and one of us. And then once he did that, I was like, at first I was a little confused. And all of a sudden, when they started coming through the cloud at the last
I got that. I mean, it's like I knew exactly what he was doing when he was just about out. And the other guy was waiting on the other side of the cloud going, okay, their signal's getting stronger. Get ready for them.
Yeah, did you catch the part where, like, right before Mal opened fire on the one Reaver ship, he said, are we almost through? So basically, they flew all the way through to the end, and it's kind of like, oh, by the way, tagging them and getting them to attack them, follow them to attack them.
Get a head start a little bit.
Yeah. I picked up on that pretty quick. I went, oh man, great tactic! Because he knew the whole thing was a setup. I'll tell you, the one thing that became really clear really fast was why the Signal podcast is called the Signal podcast. Mm-hmm. That one didn't take rocket science to figure out.
Well, the very, very first marketing information for the film was Can't Stop the Signal. The very first website was CantStopTheSignal.com. So the Signal.
But let's see, they killed off
from the Signal.
They killed off Mr. Universe.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's another movie, he's not going to be around. And they killed off
his bot, maybe.
Yeah, forgive me. I only had one session of this movie. The pilot of the ship.
Wash.
We've already talked about this.
Yeah.
We've already talked about this, haven't we, Summer?
Yeah. Yeah, that was just like a, whoa! Where'd that come from?
Part of it, I was expecting, I guess, maybe somebody to, I don't know. Part of me was like, wasn't surprised that one of the main characters got killed off, but I was like, oh, man.
I thought half of them were going to buy it down in the, when they were holding up.
Was just a true Joss Whedon story. You halfway expected. I mean, you got two major wars here. You're followed by the Alliance.
Yep.
You're being tracked by an operative, and he hasn't left a whole lot of people alive so far. And Reavers, which kind of don't leave anybody alive unless they're hungry. So somebody had to die.
I thought they were going to take the operative guy on board at the end. I really did.
Oh, no.
It was good, though.
There was too much alpha male competition going on there.
Okay.
Yeah, they'd all kill each other within a week.
Mm-hmm.
Hey,
all right.
But you know what? I have to say, though, he did a great job, though.
Oh, yeah. He was
good. Great character.
He had me on the edge of my seat, especially at the beginning. I was like, oh, man, because you didn't know how far he was going to go. Or that, especially that first fight, fight between him and Mal. I was like, "Oh man, it's on! It looks like he's gonna get it, or he's gonna get Mal." And then
he was one of those classic characters you love to hate. Now I have. Was it just me, or did anybody else have thoughts of MST3K in this movie at any point?
What,
dude? No. It was set up right in front of you so many times. I mean, when River is in the first bar scene where she gets triggered and she starts going off, she's looking at that octopus thing, and I'm going, she's watching Hi-Hi Puffy Yami Yumi on the big screen. I did. I turned to my friend Scott and I said, Hi-Hi Puffy Yami Yumi. She's watching Japanese cartoons. And then at the end, when they come crashing into that bay, you know, the Reavers are chasing them, and they come screeching in, and that scene, they're just screaming, sparks flying everywhere for about a minute while they're coming to a landing, and as soon as they stop, you know there's going to be that dead silence when everybody goes, ah. I couldn't resist. I went, thank you for flying JetBlue.
Oh, no.
I did. That's just the way I watch movies.
You know what? The MST3K just came in when you knew the title of that cartoon.
I know that title of that cartoon because my kids watch TV.
Uh-huh. Oh.
That's funny. Hey, that's Speed Racer. What?
The other gripe I've got is when Mal and the operative, you know, he was trying to put the chip in to broadcast the signal at the end, and they were fighting it out on that glass platform, and he stabs him with the ninja knife, right? And Mal just kind of pulls it out and goes on fighting as if nothing happened. And in fact, at the end, when he opens up the elevator doors and he says, well, where's River and how's the fight going? He's walking with just a slight limp and a red eye.
That's not a slight limp.
Now, this operative is a professional killer.
That was more than just a red eye, too.
This operative is a professional killer. How could he not hit some major organs? And there was silence.
Mal was a believer. And that belief drove him. I mean, we saw before where he didn't die when he should have died, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he took a bullet to the gut, almost the exact same place, actually.
Don't get me wrong. I thought it was a great sci-fi movie. I just thought there were some strange holes in it. Well, besides my MST3.
You got to get used to that. There's always some person in Joss Whedon's universe who's going to do something superhuman because it's the right thing for them to do at that moment.
Yeah. If they didn't, then the movie would be like 10 minutes long, man.
Now, I will agree. I listened to the unbleeped version of Slice of Sci-Fi. What was that, last night, Craig, when I told you got to hear this?
Yeah, so. That came out Saturday.
Yep. I listened to that, and I will agree 100% the dialogue was great.
Oh, yeah.
That was the best part. I mean, the one-liners that were being thrown out there, and even the things that weren't said, like at the end where the two were falling down in their romantic interlude, and all of a sudden at the top of the screen you see River's head poke out the air vent. Oh my god, that was funny.
Yeah.
Well, the ones that got me were like the looks on River's face, like when they were doing the heist and she signals to Zoe that the guy has a gun.
Yeah.
And Zoe looks like this guy, and she goes, yeah.
Yeah.
Or when they get back from the heist and she goes, yeah. I swallowed a bug.
Yeah,
yeah, that was a great funny one.
And the one where she's with Simon, and he goes, am I talking to Miranda now? And she goes, doofus. I mean, just with exactly. The look on her face, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it was nice to see her actually doing something a little bit more, you know, than especially the fight scene. But doing some, you know, in the show, she didn't really do a whole lot except for that one where there was another assassin trying to, or a guy trying to come in and.
It was in War Stories. They assaulted Niska's station to rescue Mal, and she just did the math and bang, 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 killed all three of them.
Mm-hmm. I tell you what else I thought was interesting was, aside from the show, and maybe we would have seen this a little bit more if the show had gone on a little bit more. Thanks, Fox. Mal actually being a little not really coarse, but more. Making things look a little more rough out there. Like he pushed that guy off and then ended up shooting him in the head, you know, trying to, I know it was for mercy, but you know, being a little more, rather than just being a sci-fi movie, all right, come on, let's get in, you know, let's try and rescue him too, you know. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? I mean, just seeing them
I don't see him doing that. because he likes to choose his crew, and except for Book, Simon, and River, he chose the people he wanted to fly with. Mm-hmm. I can't see him adding, like, you know, every stray cat that comes along, every stop they make. That'd be a crowded ship.
No, I mean, even if they dropped him off somewhere, I mean, that he actually pushed him off the thing and, you know, just seemed a little, made him seem like it's a little more, not Wild West type, but, you know, things are a little tougher out there than, you know.
Yeah, okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, and then, well, we're going to end up talking about the whole movie, but, you know, when they got Shepherd's tribe, whatever, the settlement.
Yep.
And that guy, and that the pilot got out of the ship, and he had his hands up, and, pow, and just shot him without even thinking twice.
Mm-hmm.
That was an interesting scene, I thought.
Yeah. He's pretty pissed off, you know. He just tore up the whole town. I would be too, I guess.
Did anybody else see this under strange circumstances?
Define strange.
Okay. I was up at 5 a.m. that day.
Mm-hmm.
And had a wedding to go. I worked all day, then went to a wedding, then went to the reception, and just as dancing was starting, I took off and went to the movie with some friends. And then we came back, and then I had to get 2.5 hours of dancing into 20 minutes. So I'm really sore right now. I have second day pain. I do stupid things and don't feel for 2 days.
I thought you were going to say something like there was a transvestite coming on to you or something like that. Strange circumstances.
No, that,
no, just standard mall interaction.
There you go.
How crowded was the theater for you, Craig?
Well, I did go see it at 9:40.
That's the time I saw it, too, in my time zone. Now, you actually saw it an hour ahead of me.
It was about half and half in there. It wasn't too bad.
Yeah, the show I saw Saturday was at 9:30 p.m., and it was about 80% full.
Ours was probably 60 to 70%. I was kind of surprised that it wasn't more full up than it was.
Well, hey, I'm curious, Summer, how did the premiere go? Y'all gave away those tickets.
Oh, my goodness.
Did anybody get those questions?
Oh, yeah, a lot of people got those questions, but my beef is with Universal. Apparently, they gave out, like, 5 billion tickets to this premiere screening, and the particular theater only held 500 people.
Oh,
yeah, we had winners, ticket winners from our show who didn't get in. Yeah.
That sucks.
At least 700 people showed up. I mean, literally the line wrapped around the mall. The line wrapped around the mall. And they
what
turned
do you do?
People away. Well, the Universal rep said that people who didn't get in would get passes to a future screening, but one other person I talked to who actually drove to Phoenix from Tucson from Texas. She was moving here to go to school because she was supposed to go to school, I think, in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
So she was like transferring here, and she's literally a brand new Arizona brown coat. She was saying that this has happened before, where people were supposed to get passes because they didn't get in, and they never got the replacement passes. So I'm hoping they live up to this one, because that was
that
a
sucks.
Whole lot of people who didn't get in.
That
yeah, those
sucks.
Questions those questions were answerable. A lot of people got them on the first try, and a couple of people who were really, 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 really earnest, I kind of said, no, go watch disc number 4 again.
Yeah, right.
It's in the special features.
Mm-hmm. But you saw that I posted the answers?
I didn't see that. No, I'm curious to see that.
Slice of Sci-Fi on, I think, Friday, I posted the answers.
Okay. I would think if you had that many people that got turned away, the mall would suddenly understand what being in a crowd of reavers is really like.
they were surprisingly... No, they were well-behaved. They were just highly disappointed.
Oh, man, that would suck.
And what really sucked is that, like, the first 50 people in, or the first 30 people in, got free Serenity t-shirts. They're brown t-shirts with the Serenity logo, the word,
oh,
and the Chinese, the red and yellow picture, the glyph on it. And I'm like, hey, I wanted a t-shirt.
No kidding.
No, I stood out there for an hour waiting for the winners to show up.
You know, I blew right by this. I'm being kind of stupid. And for the people who don't listen to Slice of Sci-Fi, they were running a contest that had five questions from Firefly that you had to answer. And if you got it right, they had 75 tickets in Tucson and 75 tickets in Phoenix to get into the movie basically, what, a couple days ahead? Tuesday night, was it?
Wednesday night, yeah.
Wednesday night. Mm. So this contest didn't go over so well.
Well, hey, speaking of that T-shirt, you know, I want the one on ThinkGeek.com. Have you seen that?
Joss Whedon is my master now.
I so want that.
that's an absolute great shirt.
It is.
Hey, we're going to take a real quick break. Okay. We'll be right back in just a sec.
Just a reminder that Technorama is coming up on show number 50. We've got hundreds of dollars worth of cool stuff, and you'll want to make sure you don't miss out on your chance to win. To enter, head over to ChuckChat.com and sign up for the announcements mailing list to qualify for the prize drawings we'll be doing on show number 50. The mailing lists are on the left side of the main page at www.chuckchat.com. Don't delay, sign up today.
You're listening to Technorama.
And there's nothing you can do about it! Well, actually, there is. They could probably go to the next track real fast.
Yeah.
Dumb thing to say on a podcast. There's everything you can do about it. But we appreciate you listening nevertheless. Now, Summer, you've got another podcast starting up, along with, you know, doing the production on Slice of Sci-Fi.
Hello.
And Dragon Page. And a Kick-Ass Mystic Ninjas podcast. How's it coming? All right, nobody noticed that, but we've got everybody back together, right? Right?
That's right.
Right.
Good. Good. Just a minor Skype technicality, like always happens. We're just quick on the pause button. Now, Summer, you've got another podcast in addition to being producer of Dragon Page, Winging It, Technorama. Yeah. Can you be our producer, too?
Well, yeah.
Cover to Cover and Slice of Sci-Fi, you now have the Kick-Ass Mystic Ninjas podcast to contend with, too.
That is correct.
How's that going?
We are... It's a little slow going right now because we still haven't gotten a whole really good idea of what we're going to be doing. And we're also waiting for Joe to read the book.
Sounds like there's one book and you're passing it around.
No, what it is we decided to go old school, talk about, you know, older books, older movies, older TV shows. And I asked him, it's like, you know, this has really been bugging me for a couple of years because a good friend of mine bought Hyperion for me and insisted that I read it. And he thought he was doing me a favor by buying me this book and telling me to read it because I had given him a series of books that he absolutely loved. So he's like, I'm going to give you my favorite book and you can read it. And I read it and I wasn't impressed.
Well, you know, that almost makes for a better review.
With this guy?
Literally, every year he bothers me. He's like, have you read it again? I'm like, I tried, I can't do it. This isn't it. So our first show was going to be discussing Hyperion by Dan Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
Joe had never read the story. So he went out a week ago and bought the book, and we're waiting for him to finish it so we can talk about it.
Good that you didn't like it, almost, because you hate to hear every review be, you know, oh, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread, and I loved it. I can't wait for him to turn into a movie or a sequel. Yeah, I like to hear, you know, that kind of stunk. You know, then I know what to stay away from, so my list doesn't go up.
Well, it'll be kind of interesting. Like right now, we're doing a pre-show discussion. So there's a thread over at kickassmysticninjas.com where people can throw in their 2 cents or their nickel or whatever. And after Joe's done reading the book, we're going to start talking about it.
Hey, well, why don't you tell us a little bit about the podcast itself? What are y'all going to be doing on your show?
Like I said, older books, older movies, older TV shows, stuff that we think is good that people might have missed or forgotten about, or stuff that's bad and is coming in on DVD and should have been left to rot in the sun, you know? Whatever.
Sandy Frank movies.
as a warning.
Yeah, what you know, whatever happens to come up, we'll just talk about older stuff. And the intent is to get of the interviews with authors or actors or whoever from these older works and talk to them about the stuff too.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Well, that's cool, because you know I've never been a strong reader, and I've been trying to start reading more sci-fi stuff, and I think that'd be perfect because I'd follow along with it and start picking up, you know, stuff I haven't read before.
Okay.
So I think that's actually it'd be good for me.
How far back are you going to take us?
H.G. Wells to the 50s to start out with, because I haven't read a whole lot of stuff before then.
So we're not going to be talking about Jules Verne and things like that yet.
Yeah, most people read that in high school, didn't they?
No, I'm catching up on it.
I didn't read anything in high school.
With like poem
really?
Books.
Hey, really? I read Lord of the Flies.
Wow, I forgot.
I read Lord of the Rings.
You guys are just kids then. Now we read a whole lot of that stuff in junior high school and high school. So
I was in the computer lab in high school. I didn't have time to read books.
Oh, okay.
He was reading the monochrome screen.
I still have some of the manuals I read over there. You know, getting familiar with your Apple II.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, right.
You don't think I have an Apple assembly language book on the shelf over there, Craig? You know what my library's like.
Yeah, it's right there beside those Windows 3.1 disks.
Actually, I ditched a lot of that stuff a few weeks ago. But... Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for joining us, Summer.
You're welcome.
It's been very fun. Maybe we'll have to do this again when Narnia comes out in a couple months.
Ooh, that'll be fun.
That we did read in fifth grade. My fifth grade teacher, Mrs. Friend, that's how I learned how to spell friend, she read The Hobbit, and she read The Chronicles of Narnia, and I think she read The Rats of Nim, which I think would make a cool story, too, a cool movie.
It is.
They made that? Is it like in today's CGI standards, or is it the older?
No, it's an old animated. It's not. Who's the guy?
Oh yeah, You're thinking of the Secret of Nim.
The Secret of Nim is kind of loosely based on that.
Okay, that was. But that was a cartoon, was it not? I think I remember seeing that.
I think
they could do a newer version of CGI. I mean, because they did Hitchhikers back then, and it sucked. But then they redid it now, and it was good. Because, you know, Hollywood's doing nothing but re-spinning movies now. You're right.
You remember that one?
Yeah.
I bet they could redo Willard, too, but we're way off base.
We can't continue, or else I'm going to, like, risk revoking my geek status. Because with Narnia and Tolkien, C.S. Lewis and Tolkien, I avoided like the plague.
No kidding. Really? How come?
Mm-hmm.
Just too common.
I was told. No, it was. I tried reading A Hobbit in junior high school, and because a friend of mine really, really recommended it, and it was boring as all get out. So I'd never read The Lord of the Rings. And later on, when I was taking a literature class, I found out that Tolkien and C.S. Lewis were contemporaries, and I'm like, oh, great, more boring prose. Not going to go there. So I never read those. I still haven't read them.
Hmm.
Well,
haven't you learned not to listen to your friends' reading recommendations?
That's the danger with recommendations.
It's a pattern,
though,
isn't it?
That's the danger of recommendations, though. People tend to hype up things, and then you expect too much out of it. It happens with books. It happens with movies. It happens with music. Uh-huh. And they go, oh, this is great. You're going to love it. And you get in there and go, what a letdown, because you built it up so much, I was expecting more.
Yeah.
Well, several of the recommendations, more recent ones, have been better than worth it, so.
So you have, your friends are getting better, or the recommendations are getting better?
Well, the recommendations are getting better, and I also actually ended up talking to the one author, and he rocks. He absolutely rocks.
All right. We are at 45 minutes, and it's time for us to get out of here. Craig, you want to take us out? Craig?
Yeah, sure. Yes?
I'm having fun. Give him the roll.
Yeah, I don't want to go. I don't want to go yet. I got so much more to talk about.
We're going to be talking about all it right. after the show's over.
Yeah, no kidding. All right. Well, here we go. Everybody, hey, you can contact us at the listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. You can email Chuck at chuck@chuckchat.com and me at craig at chuckchat.com. And, of course, you kind of figured out our website. It's chuckchat.com. Go check it out. And don't forget to check out the Mystic or kickassmysticninjas.com for Summer's new podcast and the dragonpage.com for all their millions of podcasts that they do.
That's right. Do you have any parting words of wisdom for us this time?
Who, me?
Yes.
No, not really.
Anybody. No words of wisdom? Craig's usually got one lined up.
No. Okay. I don't have anything tonight. Sorry.
That's disappointing.
I'm asleep at the wheel.
All right, Summer, give us the binary high five.
101, guys.
Thank you very much. Thanks for listening. Take care.